We continue with Masachas Beisa, Daf Chavtesim and Aleph. We're going to begin on the second wide line, Maisa B'Abishol Ben Butnis. The Gemara is referencing the Mishnah, which told us Maisa B'Abishol Ben Butnis, who would be Mimale Midosav, he would fill his measuring cups, Me'erv Yamtif, and Nosan Lukuchos B'Yamtif, and he would give them to Lukuchos, to buyers, on Yamtif. So the Gemara now, again, two lines from the bottom, says, Tana af b'moed osakein, mipnei bitul beis hamedrash. A Tana taught that he would do this even on chol hamoed because of bitul beis hamedrash. Rashi explains, Shehayachachem gadol aboim rabim lishol heimenu. Abba ben Butnis was a great chacham, and many people would come and ask shailas of him. B'moed rabim oskim b'torah she'en shudim b'malacha. And dafka on moed and chol hamoed, a lot of people would be have an opportunity to go ahead and to engage in Torah study because they were not as busy, as involved as they would typically be during a regular work week. So he would go ahead and fill these measuring cups in the evening beforehand, She'ein's man beis hamedrash, which is not the time that typically people will come to the beis hamedrash to ask shailas. This way he would have the opportunity to go ahead and to answer their shailas during the day. The Gemara now continues with a related brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, who kana shlosh meos garve yayin. Abishol ben Button is talking again about his particular practice. Once collected 300 barrels of wine, mibirure yamidos, and these 300 barrels of wine were barrels that had been collected from berure hamidos, the foaming of the measuring cups. Rashi explains that this was based on his calculation of how much wine he had collected by not allowing the foam to properly settle when he would pour the wine into the barrels. And so over the course of a long period of time, so he collected 300 barrels of wine, which had all come from these Beirurim Midos. For Chaverev Konsul Shalosh Meos Garve Yayin. And Chaverev, his colleagues, so they collected 300 barrels of oil, Mimitsui Hamidos. This was from the process of draining the measures. In other words, since oils typically would cling, they would stick to the barrels. So often they would go ahead and sell a certain measure, but a certain amount would be retained in these cups, and over time it adds up. So they didn't want to hold on to this, the wine or the oil, because they felt that really didn't belong to them, that these were this was merchandise that really should have been passed along to the buyers. So they brought them to the Gizborim. They brought them to those who were to maintain the Gizbor, the treasury hektish in the Beis Hamikdash Yerushalayim. And Amru lehem yatem zekukim lechach. So they said, "Listen, you're not really required to give this to us." Rashi explains, "You're not required to return it because this was never your kavana to steal from the lukuchos. And anyway, the lukuchos are mochel; they are going to forgive and waive in this situation because it's understood that when doing business and people are in a rush, they come in and request a certain amount of wine or oil, so nobody's going to have the time to stand there and wait till every last drop clears out. So therefore, you have nothing to worry about, and it's not necessary for you to return it. But they said, they said, we also don't want it. In other words, you're right, maybe technically, Alpidin, we're not required to go ahead and return this. However, we, explains Rashi, do not want to get hana mishal acherim. We are not interested in benefiting at all from the property that really belongs to others. So Amr lahem, so the Chachamim said, Hoil v'hechramtim al atzmachem, since you are being machmir on yourself, you want to, you know, act stringently above and beyond. So asu mehem tzarchi rabim. So the best thing to do is to take this wine and this oil and use it for tzorchei rabim, for the needs of the for the public, for the community. In other words, since you don't know exactly who to return this to, well, over the course of time there may have been many hundreds of lukuchos, and there's no way to track them down. So how are you going to get and return this? So the best thing to do is to give it to the community, so this way everybody benefits from it. The Tanya's, it says, and it writes, gozal the inu yodei mimi gozal. If a person stole, but he doesn't know from whom he stole, so he doesn't know who to return it to, and now he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to return that which was stolen, yasa behem tzorchei rabim. So the Braisa says she should go ahead, and she should use it for the purpose of community needs. My ninhu, what are examples of community public needs? Amar Rav Chisda boros shichan ma'oros. He could use it for public works to maintain or to construct boros, which are water holes, shichan ma'oros, ditches, caves. These are all parts of the community's infrastructure which benefits everyone. And this way, if a Gazan goes ahead and returns that which he stole, hopefully the people who are the victims of his theft will benefit from this person giving the money back. So over here, Abba Medbutnis, as well as Chaverim, technically were not considered Gazlanim. They were not required to go ahead and return anything. They didn't do anything wrong, but they wanted to be Machmir. And so therefore, the Gezbarim of the Beis HaMikdash recommended that they do what a Gazlan in this situation does, namely to go ahead and to give the money to Tzarche Rabbi. The Gemara now continues. Ad Berei Rav Chisda l'Rabbana Ukva. Rav Chisda once guided Rabbana Ukva on a walk through the streets. Rashi says, Hinhigu metayl ima b'mevos ha'ir. Rav Chisda walked Rabbana through the streets of the city. Rabbana Ukva, excuse me. B'darash. And as they were walking, he said the following. Lo yimdor adam sa'orim. If a person should not measure sa'orim barley and then place it before his animal on Yom Tov. Rashi points out, even though you're not measuring for the purpose of selling, nevertheless you still should not measure even when you're feeding to your animals because that's what it looks like. Says Rashi, afilu litin mehemtosh nira kamode limkor, because it looks like you are measuring for the purpose of selling. However, says the Brice of Al Koder Hu Kav Okabim Venosin of Nebehemto Inochosh. However, you can go ahead and he could scoop out a kav or two kavs of barley and place that before his animal, and he doesn't have to worry whatsoever about doing the wrong thing. Vahanachto modin tavlin venosin tochkede raso, kadeshali aktiach tavshilo. Also, a nachto meshef can go ahead and measure spices and place them into the pot, the food that he's preparing on Yom Tov, and he could do this because he doesn't want his dish to become too spicy, it'll get ruined, and therefore this is permissible. The point over here being that while it is prohibited normally for a person to measure on Yom Tov because of the concern that it look like it is a form of mekach or memkar, there are exceptions. And we see over here to take out a certain scoop, a very non-specific measure of barley and give it to the animals, or to go ahead and to measure spices when cooking, this is permissible. Continues the Gemara, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Rav, Modedes Isha Kemach B'Yom Tov Noselet Tochisasa, Kedei Shatito Chala Ba'ayin Yafa, Shmuel Amar Asa. The Gemara records a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding the following case. A woman, Modedes Isha Kemach B'Yom Tov, means literally, according to Rav, a woman may measure flour on Yom Tov and place it into her Isasa, into her dough, so that she will be able to go ahead and separate challah ba'ayin yafa generously. Shmuel says that this is prohibited. Rashi explains that, of course, there's a minimum amount of challah that a person is supposed to give. Now, when a woman doesn't know exactly how much challah she has, she doesn't know how much flour she has put in her dough, so she is more likely to be less generous because she's going to assume naturally that there's not enough for her. If, however, she knows that she has a certain amount, so then hopefully she will give more generously. So therefore, on this basis, Rav permits a woman to go ahead and to measure the flour so that she will give more challah. Shmuel disagrees. He says this is prohibited. Says the Gemara, V'atana debei Shmuel mutter. But wait a second, we have a brisa from the yeshiva of Shmuel which tells us that this is permissible. So Amar Abaye, hashtadam Shmuel aser, V'atana debei Shmuel mutter. So Abaye says, so just because Shmuel says that something is prohibited, and Tana de Shmuel, and Shmuel's yeshiva says that something is permissible, Shmuel halacha l'maisel shel shminon, so we have to conclude now that Shmuel is coming to teach a practical halacha l'maisa, with his own personal statement. This is similar to that which we saw earlier on the concept of halacha, the ein moen came. Right? Previously, we'd seen that according to the Brice, it's permissible to go ahead and to measure flour, but this is not something which should be publicized. So Shmuel over here, his personal statement, teaching, somebody asked him whether this is permissible, so he said shouldn't. However, in the yeshiva, when they're learning the actual halacha, so they say that mikra din, this is something which is permissible. The Gemara now continues to discuss a related discussion. We're going to talk right now about sifting flour on Yom Tov, which obviously is done in order to prepare the flour to make it more pure and more readily usable for cooking and baking. So the Gemara discusses whether this is permissible. So Tanur Rabbanan ein shonen kemach biyamtiv, mishum Rabbi Papias, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira amu shonen. So machlokes over here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Papias, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, whether or not it's permissible. Tanakama says one ein shonen, which means is prohibited to sift flour. Says Rashi, the lekatircha. I'm sorry, ein shonen. The first Rashi, ein shonen kemach shiraktu meyasmol. It was previously sifted. And now you want to do it a second time in order to make sure that it is even more finely prepared. This and removed of all impurities, this is not something which is permissible because it could have been done yesterday. However, the opinion over here, it says it's permissible. Rabbi Pius, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, so says Rashi, deleka tircha, because this is not something that really requires any great effort. It's very clear that you're doing this a second time. Nobody thinks that this is an actual act of sifting for the first time, which would constitute a real act of borer. And therefore, this is permissible on Yom Tov. Continues the Braisa. But everybody agrees that if a tzor, a pebble, or a kisim, or a splinter falls into the flour, certainly you can go ahead and re-sift the flour at that point. Continues the Gemara, Tanatana Kamedu Ravina. So there was one who taught a brisa before Ravina, and he says, "In shonen kemach biyamtiv, aval nafal etzor or kisem bari biyado." That a person could not go ahead and be shown and again resift flour on yamtiv. However, if a pebble or a splinter falls in, so then bari biyado, you can go ahead and select it with your hand. So Amalei, so Ravina said, "Kol shekein diyaso." Certainly, this is prohibited. The havali kabori, because this is mamish borer when you're going ahead and separating the psolus mitocha ochel, something which is in this case extraneous, something which is maybe even harmful. Certainly, not something which is desired when you have a vessel containing flour. So this would certainly be prohibited because this would be an act of borer.